Well, this morning, Pastor Keith's away, so we have a special guest speaker here. We have Scott Lanigan, and Scott's been involved in the Kelowna community for many years, serving on staff at various churches in town, but more recently, he's involved in the Third Space Culture organization, and he's the chief experience officer at Third Space. I think that's really cool. And Scott, why don't you come on up here? And for anyone who doesn't know, Third Space is a coffee shop in town, but it's so much more than just a coffee shop in town. So I just want to read a quick sentence from the Third Space website. It says, Third Space Culture is a non-profit sustainable organization where 100% of the profits are reinvested into our core services of professional development, life guidance, and spiritual exploration. So thank you, Scott, for joining us here.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for clapping. You don't even know me yet. That was lovely. I really appreciate that. I am thrilled to be here, actually. I have had the privilege of getting to know Keith over the last number of months and partnering on a few different initiatives together and found out that we do have some connection in our stories. I have a little CMA in my blood. I grew up in Abbotsford for a portion of, well, I should say grade 11, I was in Abbotsford, and I went to Seven Oaks Alliance Church. And so my youth pastor there was a pastor that Keith worked with in the North Shore Alliance Church, Brian Bueller. And so he had a significant impact on my life, and I spent many years working and hanging out at Seven Oaks Alliance and enjoying that. And so it kind of, I see the symbol there and I'm like, oh, the memories. It just kind of got back into me. And we had those days where we put the rose on the pedal. If you're new, you had a little rose on your, suit coat, those type of things. And it was wonderful memories that I have from that. And as I have had the opportunity being part of this community for the last 9 years and working most recently at the church just a few blocks away, I have to tell you something. I am so thankful for Mission Creek Alliance and your faithfulness on the corner of Spall and Cooper. Your faithfulness of being here, it's an important part of the fabric of Kelowna, this church. And every faithful decision, every faithful step, every faithful prayer matters. They all do. And now you got a new team, a team that's complementing what's been here in Cam and Keith and the ones that are here. And I am so excited that you have the opportunity of these people, because I have come to respect Keith very highly. And I'm so thankful for his friendship in my life and the ability to grow. And I look forward to getting to know Cam even better. And so don't take them lightly. Don't take the entire team lightly of what they can offer you and how they can lead you to discovering Jesus in a fresh way. As I considered what to speak about today, I thought about something that makes me kind of feel a little bit more part of your community, and that's exactly the word, community. What that means to this body and the body that extends outside these walls. Now, I'm sure as soon as I said community, for some of you that you just started praying, your kids would not come, number would come up on the monitors. You're like, I do not want to have that touchy-feely stuff. I get that. I understand. Or maybe you're hoping to get an emergency text from work that says, man, I just got to go. That community thing is a little bit, uncomfortable. It means that, this church community deal that at some point I'm going to have to probably join a small group or some group that I just am uncomfortable talking with, and we're going to have to hold sweaty hands and sing kumbaya, and perhaps most likely that picture that comes up in your mind is this one, that you're going to have to dress like this eventually. Now, Keith looks a bit nasty in that picture, but he told me that you don't have to dress up till 2016 like that. That's the t-shirt for 2016. Now, if you were just to sit here for a moment and take stock of your life, isn't there something built inside of you, well, in each one of us, that longs for a place to belong, for connection, that propels you and me to be part of something bigger than ourselves? Well, you see it everywhere. Let's take a few other pictures, for example. Have you ever seen these guys? It's the Green Men for the Canucks, right? Not God's team, obviously, because that's the Edmonton Oilers, but it is the... Thank you. Oh, there are some fellow wonderful people. It was tough to say for me, because the Oilers, haven't been so hot the last couple years. How about this one? Maybe you don't know who those guys are called Cheeseheads. They're Green Bay Packers fans. And if you're to go to a Green Bay Packers stadium, it is proliferated with Cheeseheads. They are crazy. And they all wear this fromage on their head. And it is crazy business. How about this one? This might be a little tougher. Yeah, those are two men, and that is parrot heads. Those are Jimmy Buffett fans. If you've ever heard of Jimmy Buffett, parrot heads are even more crazy than Green Bay Packer fans. They are over the top. Now, this one's going to be a little bit tougher. Some of you might remember this. Yeah, those are Beatles fans when they came to New York City. That is exactly who those are. I think Becca's the one on the right with braces there. Why do people do this? Why do people think, I gotta be part of something? It's because we're hardwired for community, for belonging. It's permanently written in our DNA. And people search for it everywhere. Well, they'll do anything to find it. They'll even put something on their head that is crazy if they wore it in public. In hockey rinks and coffee shops and pop songs, the problem is people are searching for community. And that community can only go so far. You see, when the game is over and the concert finished, the community fades. That's why the church is so beautifully different. The Bible declares that from the beginning of creation, God designed community, belonging. It exists in the very nature of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In beautiful diversity and complexity, they model what relational community looks like. Interdependence and yet individuality. For us humans, it all started with Adam in the Garden of Eden. After the animals had been named and gone about their business, God said, hey, it's not good for man to be alone. And so he created a relational partner in Eve. You see, right from the beginning, we are formed for relationship, to belong. And the belonging, the Bible's riddled with pictures of that. Trees and root systems, the human body, how each part of the body is dependent on the others, functioning as a whole and yet needing each part to contribute. And the pinnacle of this community, this picture of belonging, is found in the greatest command. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. See, God's greatest commandment is to love him. God's second greatest is to love his people. Everything is about relationships, belonging. And when you choose to become part of God's family, when you lean into this community of people, when you participate in Mission Creek Alliance in a full way, when you step in, it has a direct connection to your understanding of God. You see, as you relate and respond to God's leading in your life, as he begins to form and shape your identity in Christ, you realize very quickly that it can never be simply an individual achievement. Don't miss this. The more I see what God can do through you alongside me, the more God shapes me. The more God shapes you. The more I walk along life with you and I see what God is doing in your life, I go, hey, maybe God can do that in my life too. I learn from your story, and you learn from mine. Well, when I speak sometimes, I realize you're not going to remember all the words. I never can when I'm listening to somebody preach. I'm like, whew, that was a lot, or a fire hose, or I fell asleep 5 minutes in. You know, I know how it goes. And so I come up with something called a big idea. And my big idea is a little springboard to help you remember something that might cause you to reconsider what we talked about today. And as you can see on the screen, my big idea is this. You need community. And someone in community needs you. It's really simple. You need community, and someone in community needs you. Now, women get this way more than men. You see it in restaurants and parks and malls every day. And I saw it just most recently when I was out with some friends with my wife and I. And you're out with a group, and maybe when you're in the food fair, you notice it too. Droves of women heading to the washroom together. I don't understand. It's like a party in there. Who wants to go to the washroom? And everybody says, we do. And they go. And I'm certain there's couches in there, maybe a coffee bar, pedicures, a concierge. It seems like a party is always happening in women's washrooms. I don't understand that. Conversely, men's washroom, they're a lonely place. It's empty. It's cold. You can literally hear a pin drop. Boop. Usually it's dripping faucet. It's dirty. No one makes eye contact. You get in, you get out, and you leave me alone. Is that not true? Yes, it's totally true. Thank you. Every day we're saturated with the individual. We're taught to do things solo, from songs to TV shows, the self-help section at Chapters. You can only trust yourself. It's no surprise that the word of the year in 2013 was selfie. So people, and maybe even you, try to survive alone, raise kids alone, eat alone. Couples try to have a good marriage without the help of others. It's just easier to walk the halls of my school alone instead of facing rejection. I'll just settle for being an outsider. For some, perhaps this is firsthand, even today. We might be here together, but you feel absolutely alone. You walk out after the service in a crowd of people that doesn't feel like community at all. My hope is this, that you understand there are people here to meet you in the shadows. Every weekend, individuals at Mission Creek volunteer countless hours to create an opportunity for you to move into community, for you to take that next step so you can say yes to Jesus and yes to this family, to not only believe but to belong. You see, because you need community and somebody in community needs you. But that's where the roadblocks appear, can't they? When you're considering maybe doing that, how about you? What stops you from moving into authentic community? What makes you just kind of hesitate? Well, Scott, I love God, but I'll be honest with you, I don't love all these people. I get it. There are some crazies in every gathering you go to, not just cheeseheads, but in churches. Some might even think you're crazy. I'm just letting you know. It might be you. Or are you, Scott, I love this community thing, and I've been in some churches in my life, but I've been burnt. Like, it didn't work out so hot. As a matter of fact, I don't sit on the same side. Well, it's why I left church. It's not going to happen again, so you lock down the hatches. Thing is, there's no perfect church. You'll never find it. Not two blocks down the road, not here, not anywhere. God wants you to love real people, not ideal people. Or maybe you're the opposite. Maybe you're sitting here today and you go, I got a great group. We've been together for years. And you're thinking, this doesn't relate to me. I've got this one all together. I've already checked off that box and I'm good to go. Then I've got a question for you. Is there an empty seat beside you today? Now, I know some of you like empty seats, like on airplanes when you go on the empty seat and you're like, thank goodness no one's sitting beside me, right? Like, that happens for some of us, but it's a different story here. You see, an empty seat is a serious matter because in this service, that means there's a missing person, a life God can't touch, whose burden can't be lifted, whose heart can't be encouraged, whose loneliness cannot be cured. Someone you know needs this family. And if you have that type of family, how would you not want to share this type of community with someone you love so much? See, it's one thing to go to church, but it's an entirely different thing to be the church. See, God wants us to do life together and to share it. Sometimes we just need to be reminded of that. Sometimes we just need a little push in the right direction. There's a few verses in Ephesians that speak to that. It's in the New Testament, and Paul wrote it, and he wrote it to a church just like us here today. Now, if you have your Bible, I encourage you to turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, your Bible app, YouVersion, if you subscribe to YouVersion, or if it's the Pew Bible, it's page 811 in your Pew Bible if you don't have a Bible. So I encourage you to check it out, and worse for wear, you can just check the screens behind me. That's no problem at all. Ephesians 2, 11 through 18 says this. Actually, I'm just going to be reading verse 11 and 12. Don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. You were called uncircumcised heathens by the Jews, who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. Verse 11, it's difficult to miss that one word, isn't it? Outsiders. For Gentiles, the non-Jews, that word had been them for thousands of years. All the way back to Abraham in the Old Testament when he had two wives and two kids, and then everything went to pot. It became divisive. So much so, they were given a nickname to boot by these so-called insiders, the Jews, the people who were chosen by God to be his purveyors of hope, to accept all those around them. They said, no, we're going to give them a nickname. Those guys are the uncircumcised heathens. That's who they are. The Gentiles had heard those names all their lives. Psychologists say that almost everyone conjures up nicknames, and that we almost all do it in the same way. We give people we love nicknames that are enduring by people that we kind of have fun with. Like my nickname from college was Scampy, because I'd made this little barking noise one time, and my roommate said, hey, you sound like a Scampy, a dog. And to this day, 20-odd years later, he calls me and goes, hey, Scampy. And I'm like, oh my goodness, right? Like, but it's an enduring term, but yet for people we don't like, we hate, don't fit in, psychologists say we give nicknames that are disparaging, that are full of contempt, hate. And I'm certain that for some of us today, maybe you, this rings fresh. Perhaps it was when you were growing up in junior high. Maybe it's even at your workplace today, excluded, not part of the insiders. For others, you know this firsthand even today here at church. We might be here together, but you feel absolutely alone. Or you feel there's a dividing wall between you and others because of something you've done, or perhaps even who you are. The hope and prayer of this church, and I know it to be true, of the people who live and breathe Mission Creek, and it's my prayer as well, is that you understand, if that is you, that people are here to meet you, to encourage you, to help you say yes to Jesus. Verse 12 goes on, it says, in those days you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. He said, when you were outsiders, when you Gentiles, because Ephesians, remember, you used to be Gentiles. Remember that now. That you used to be those outsiders. You were living apart from Christ. You were without. There was an obstacle for them, a void to experiencing Jesus, to engaging with his followers. Paul is reminding the Ephesians of what it used to be like for them. Don't forget so quickly, now that you understand who God is, now that you understand what that community is all about, don't forget what it used to be like. You were hopeless without Jesus. You were hopeless. You had nothing to live for. And then it goes on in 13, Paul says, hey, don't forget that, but now you've been united with Christ. Once you were far away from God, but now you've been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. You know, I think some of you are caught right between verses 12 and 13. Living in this world without God and without hope and the but now. Perhaps you're on that journey of faith with Jesus. Perhaps you've never stepped into that. And it says, when you become united with Christ, when you have the hope of the cross, when you understand what Jesus did for you on the cross, that he carried your burden, you can become united with the hope and the beauty and the connection and the community that he offers. You who are in the shadows, who feel like an outsider, you who are living without God and without hope can discover community, can discover hope and joy. Look what verse 14 says Jesus did. It says, for Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in his body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He did this by ending the system of law with its commandments and regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating himself one new people from two groups, together as one body. Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross, and our hostility toward each other was put to death. He brought this good news of peace to you Gentiles who were far away from him, and peace to the Jews who were near. I love that, for he is our peace. He brought this good news of peace. What picture comes in your mind when you think of peace? Is it sitting on a beach? Hot sun and sand? Is it walking down the greenway with yourself or your partner or your spouse or your friend and just listening to the water? What's that picture of peace for you? And the beautiful thing is, it's not just peace for the Gentiles and Jews back then, it's actually peace for you today. Peace in whatever situation you find yourself in. You see, because of Jesus, he broke down the law. He provided a way of peace. He reconciles everyone. Everyone. That's you. And you. And you. Everyone. Every person here. Every person in the city of Kelowna. Every individual. Hostility is put to death. So my question is, where do you need to experience peace? I don't know where that is, but I know it's somewhere today. I know there's something inside of you that is craving peace in it. Finances, or workplace, or relationships, or if you're like me, it's kids sometimes. Like when you're on a road trip, and you have your three kids and your dog in there, and the dog decides to go to the washroom in the middle of the trip, and your kids start screaming blue murder, because they're like, the dog is going to the washroom, and that's exactly what happened to me. And it was chaos, and people are wanting to stop and go, it's peace. You need peace somewhere today. Verse 18 summarizes it so beautifully when it says, now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. Now, all of us. No one's excluded. No one is excluded from the community Christ offers. So, what now? So what does this mean, Scott? Well, the beauty is this. I really wanted to create for you the reason why, the understanding of the theology of why God wants us to have community. So here's the what now. And Paul highlights it in a beautiful passage in Colossians 3. Here's what you can do. He says, so God chose you to be the holy people he loves in verse 12. You must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above everything else, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. You see, each one of these qualities mentioned in this passage express themselves through one thing, relationships. It's the only way they can be understood. You only understand forgiveness if someone offers it to you. And I love that picture of choosing what to wear each morning, because it's free for all of us to do. It's given to all of us. There's no requirement of social status, of finances, intelligence, age, or gender. Each one of us can choose with intention every day to put on mercy, to put on kindness, to cover ourselves and clothe ourselves with gentleness, patience, and forgiveness. And then put that one last piece on, which God says. He says, put the coat of love over all of it. Boy, if that was the community that was offered, I would want to be part of that in a heartbeat. See, the word love brackets it all. You are loved, now go and love. Living these verses out is authentic community. It's where real community takes place, not in the big gatherings, but the small. Where people get gut honest about who they are and what's going on in their lives, and it allows authenticity to grow. It's where kindness and gentleness and grace and love come alive. Yet it takes time and trust. A genuine desire to say, I'm in this with you. I don't have it all together either. I'm part of a group called a medium group. Now, small groups are small and medium groups are bigger. That's the difference between a small group and a medium group. And I've been in small groups for a lot of my life, and I said, you know, sometimes that can be uncomfortable because you'll have four couples and only two show up, and one's the chatty couple and you're not the chatty couple, and then what do you do? And we decided to make it bigger. So we have 14 couples that are part of our medium group. And we meet, and we say we have to have time to build community and to understand each other's story better. But if you're joining our group, you have to realize you're gonna go all in. We're not gonna spend a whole lot of time being uncomfortable. We're just gonna go for it. And you're welcome to come and go and invite others. Let's just do this. Well, in one of those times, I decided to pass out some coins, and the coins had some dates on them. And we said, whatever date is on that coin, you have an opportunity. The opportunity is to just share something that happened on that year in your life. It was 1987 or 2015 or whatever it was. What's something positive, good, exciting, sad that happened in your life? The first couple of people shared stories of, you know, being in junior high and how funny that was. Or, you know, one person happened to have the date where they had their first child. And another one had a date where they had been baptized. It was a compelling experience. And then Nicole shared. And Nicole said, "I can't believe I got this year. It's the worst year of my life." She just shared the story of being bullied at school, of waking up in cold sweats and anxiety, not able to go to the halls of her high school because she would be mocked hideously. So much so that was the year she said, "I moved away from a city because I couldn't live there anymore. And we moved to Kelowna to start fresh. That was the year my life changed." It was silent in our group. Like, wow, what a story we never knew. I never knew you'd been bullied. I look at her today and I go, how could you be bullied? It's that type of community when we're willing to step in, when we're willing to go, oh my goodness, and you cannot believe how many people said, "I was bullied too. I was so uncomfortable." How it turned into a conversation of somebody at work that said, "I sit alone all the time at work without people at lunchtime." When we're willing to lean into authentic community, when we're willing to just take a risk, it's amazing what God can do, how God can redeem your story too. So maybe for you today, it's moving into Jesus. If you're searching for God, if you're on a journey of discovering who God is, I encourage you to jump into this family, to discover, to ask questions, to read the verses in a way that they come alive when you're centering your life on Christ. You can only do that if you move into Jesus. So perhaps today your move is to take a step of faith and believe. You see, the Bible says when we're out of relationship with God, we're out of relationship with one another. And that Jesus came to restore our relationship with God, but also our relationship with each other. The church is a collection of people who belong to one another because they belong to God. So maybe for you today, you need to move into Jesus. Ask the friend who brought you. Come talk to Cam or myself after the service. We'd love to help you discover how to say yes to Jesus. Perhaps for you, it's moving into authentic community. See, community does not happen by accident. It takes intention. So perhaps for you today, you're going to go, I'm making the commitment individually with my spouse, with my girlfriend or boyfriend, my family, a group of friends to be authentic community. We're going to do it. We're going to take our small group and take it to the next level. I'm going to call that person for coffee this week, and we're going to start the conversation. Perhaps that's what you want to do today. You know what's right in the values of your church. I peeked on your website. It says, Mission Creek Alliance is a community of people who exist to worship God and join him in the renewal of all things, ourselves and the city. And don't miss this. It says this right on your website. While you're in the pews today, we find life and wholeness in Jesus and desire to invite all people, everyone, to experience this beauty from brokenness for themselves. Maybe it's moving into authentic community. The third one is move into leading. Don't be a sitter, be a builder of community. Don't be a sitter every week, be a builder. Don't stay in the shadows, elevate what you can do. And maybe it's your turn to volunteer. Maybe it's your turn to lead at Mission Creek Alliance. Maybe it's your turn to lead something you're passionate about in your community, in where you live, at your workplace. Maybe it's your turn to start creating community for that person who sits over here while you and your friends sit over there. Maybe you need to move into leading. At the very least, can I encourage you to do something today? As you're leaving, take a moment to notice someone, ask their name, and say hi, because that's exactly where community begins. Because you need community. And somebody in community needs you. Would you just stand with me as we pray? God, sometimes in the midst of Sunday, it's taken a lot to get here. Getting the family packed in the car and not forgetting the diaper bag and remembering to bring our purse and all those different things. And sometimes we just kind of blast in, and other times we're thinking about our agenda for the afternoon or what we got going on the holiday Monday, and we just forget. We just need to be reminded of why we're here. And God, I thank you for every person in these seats today. I thank you that you've called them by name. I thank you that you've opened up the way so they can experience wholeness in you. And I thank you for this community that has such an incredible opportunity to allow everyone, to invite everyone to experience beauty from brokenness. God, I thank you for these people. I pray today that you would remind them by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would meet them. Maybe it's when they're putting their head on the pillow tonight, and remind them of how precious they are, and remind them of how they can use their story to help somebody else discover the hope that you offer. God, we love you and we thank you for this opportunity. We pray these things in the very precious name of Jesus. Amen.